Okay, gals, get ready to find out what you have to look forward to. Welcome to Sobriety Snippets for Ambitious Women Over 40, where we are upgrading our mindset, trading hangovers for higher consciousness, one powerful snippet at a time. And today's Saturday, gals, Saturday, Sanctuary Saturday, we call it around here. It's a segment of the Sobriety Snippets specifically targeting that first year of sobriety, especially after the first couple of months. And I've got a really special treat for you today. But before we get there, gals, if you're new in Snippet Land, I just want to say welcome home, my dear. I'm Becca Jacobson, and this is where 40-plus women who've got it all kind of happening except the alcohol, this is where we change lives. So I'm so glad you made it home. This is where you belong. All right, so guess what happened? Guess what happened, gals? About a week ago, I got an email from a client that I hadn't heard from in several months, probably 8 or 10 months. And she reached out just to say, first of all, Becca, I'm still in snippet land. I get the snippets. But more importantly, I'm approaching my 1 year of sobriety. Now, this woman started her sobriety with me. We spent a couple of months together a year ago, and I was so excited to hear from her that I invited her to come and share her story here with you. It's so important that we hear the stories of success. So guess what? That's what I have for you today. A conversation I had very recently with Susan right after she sent me an email. And by the way, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, keep in touch, gals. I love to hear from you. Okay, Susan, you tell the story yourself. Enjoy, gals. So, Susan, thank you so much for coming back to Snippet Land and sharing your story again. 1 year later, I'm so excited that you're here with me on 1 year. So tell me a bit about the journey, how it's been since I've seen you. It's been several months. Tell us your story.
Well, my story is that 1 year ago, I just had a really bad night, had been struggling with alcohol for probably a few years. And that one bad night, I woke up the next morning and just said, I can't continue doing this to myself. Why can't I stop? And so I did. I got through 4 days, and that's where I began my journaling again. And I talk about the podcasts that I've listened to, the audiobooks I've listened to, and a podcast that I found. And I say, I think I'm going to call this woman.
You found this in your journal?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And about 4 days of sobriety.
And back at Jacobson. And I said, I think I'm going to call her because of all the books I've read, all the podcasts I've listened to. The one thing that I hadn't tried was reaching out to somebody. And I was at that point where I needed help, and I finally admitted it. So I made the phone call a couple days later, and I'm writing my journal that I really liked her. I connected with her. I love her vibe, I said, and she really seems to care, and I'm going to do it. And then I just wrote Big Loop for me. And
wow.
Yeah. So
see, the value of journaling, the value of journaling is that you would never have remembered all that.
Yeah.
But when we decided to have this conversation, when you reached out and shared with me, Becca, you know, just checking, it's been a year, I'm celebrating. And that's when I invited you to come. Well, if I was thinking about that, I hope she has her journal, because we just don't remember the details. And you just said something so important that I don't want to get too far away from it before we move on. You said the one missing thing that you had never done, the one thing was reaching out, right?
Yeah. Because I had been journaling on my other attempts, and I, you know, thought I was doing all the right things.
That is the story, I think, of all of us. Mm-hmm. And I talk about it all the time on the show, because same here. I had tried everything, but I didn't want to reach out. I didn't want help. I didn't want to be in the group. I just don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go through this big ordeal. I just want to not drink.
Yes.
But I couldn't. It isn't until we admit that. And I heard you say that too. I finally admitted it. So enough of me. Carry on, love.
Well, then I did it. I was questioning my decision to do this at the holidays, for one. But then I thought, well, if I make it through the holidays, then I got this. And you think you do, but you don't, because there's other, you're going to be faced forever. And I had to come to that realization. I'm going to be faced forever with people around me drinking alcohol. And it's my journey and not anyone else's. And I learned through the courses that I took with you is like, I had to change my mindset. I wasn't depriving myself of something. I was giving myself something. So in my journal, and I believe it, you know, your mind, after a while, you believe it. But I wrote, I believe in myself 3 times in my journal every day, or I am sober every day. And eventually you believe it. So it's very powerful. And, wow. But I learned all that through, you know, taking the courses and talking it out, and also learning I'm not alone. I'm not the only one with this problem. And that's a good feeling. You can know that,
but it's true.
So. It's a really important thing for us to realize. Mm-hmm. We just think, I spent so many years in isolation thinking I was alone. So mm-hmm. I remember, you know, you came in, there were other women. It wasn't just me and you. And that connection is so important. I love what you said, just to go back, about realizing you're not depriving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it's not deprivation. It's a gift of life.
That's like, part of the mindset change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, before you go any much farther, let's delve a little bit into the holidays. I remember also thinking that last year. Well, it's right now, as we're recording this, it's near the end of November, and it's mm-hmm. 1 year ago that we met. And it was going into the holidays, and that came up, and there were a couple other women who also came on board at that time. Of course, a whole bunch come in January.
Yeah.
But it's like, why wait? Why wait till? So, yeah. Do you think that maybe doing it during the holidays helped give you more strength because you had to be around people and had to do the holiday thing? Or how was it? Was it extra difficult? Any thoughts for those who might be thinking about getting sober now instead of January 1st?
Well, yeah, that was my mindset. If I make it through the holidays, I got this. And perhaps that was so, because I remember going to one party at a friend's house and they all drank. I did bring non-alcoholic beer that night, but we danced at the party. I danced at the party, and I remember walking home. I was close enough to walk home and just feeling so happy that I did it. And I still had fun. So that's another thing. It's like, you can still have fun. You can still be fun, you know. Yeah. And I grew up in a home where my mother never drank. And everybody called her a party pooper. And I can see why, because she sat there just disgusted, probably, that everybody around her was intoxicated. And I get that, you know. But at the same time, you know, you leave early because there's a tipping point for the intoxicated people, and you just say, I'm out of here, 9:30, 10, and you go home happy and you wake up well.
So, yeah. Wow. Good for you. Yeah. Well, there's only so much we can take of people who are drinking.
Yeah.
No judgment, but it's time to go home for sure. Yeah.
I love them, and it's my journey. It's my choice. And now I think they look at me like, wow, actually, we had a party the other night with the same group of people. And they're my ski friends. And so we get together for our Pray for Snow party. And they left at 9:30, which I was very happy for because it was perfect. But they're all like, wow, I'm proud of you. You know, they're happy for me. So, and they question me now. You'll see people will come to you and ask questions.
So no. You're celebrating out loud. Yeah. Hey, I haven't had a drink in a year.
Yeah.
In a year. Good for you.
And they'll ask you questions. You know, you can tell they would like to do that too.
Yeah.
Some, not all, of course. But,
no. So. Absolutely. We can. It's surprising how people will start. At the beginning, they kind of, I don't think they even believe it's really
happening. I'll never do that.
Yeah. But then a year goes by and they start looking and going, wow, what's that like? And realize, look at her. She hasn't grown a second head. She's fine. Right? She's a normal person.
In the corner pouting or
About the having fun, I'm glad you brought that up. In the beginning, it's hard to feel like we're gonna have fun, but it's like something kicks in or at least for me, something kicked in where I started feeling freer, less uncomfortable, more comfortable inside my own sober skin. And then you start becoming yourself. And yes, you can have fun. And is that something similar to your journey?
Oh, yeah. And you use the right word. It's a freedom. I'm free from that pull of having a drink because I couldn't stop. I'm the one who couldn't stop. You know, I'm the last one there, still popping another beer.
Right.
So I do feel a sense of freedom from that. Freedom to, you know, and remember the night and the next day and not wake up with a headache. And I am free and it's a good feeling. So
that's amazing. Here, I got a question, a fun question for you, Susan. In the last year, have you watched a movie that you may have watched before but forgot? Have you had that experience? Yeah, like,
no.
Wait, I think I saw this, but I was so drunk, I forgot it.
Other experiences, though.
Okay, know, tell us about that.
Being somewhere, like we hike a lot and we don't watch a lot of movies, probably should, but, you know, hiking or going places and not being fully present in the moment and noticing all the details, and you're just so much more present and not worried, because whenever we hike or wherever we go anywhere, we always had beer. It was about sitting there drinking beer. It wasn't about enjoying where you are and seeing you where you are. So
yeah,
I am more present, definitely.
Absolutely.
And I purposely try to do that. Like, enjoy your moment more now than before, because you're not thinking about your next year.
I mean, think about what you just said. You know, we're of a certain age. We're all mature here in Snippet Land. And you are now embracing your moments instead of numb to them. Mm-hmm. And just sitting back. You know, that's what alcohol does. It just lets time go by. Good. I can unwind. I don't have to think. It's the opposite of being present and allowing our lives to just go float away.
Yeah.
And now you're living.
Yeah. You know? And I got to say, the hardest thing for me in the group, your group, was to look to the future. What is your future? And I really struggled with that because I didn't know. And that took a long time. I want to say just recently, 10 months or so. Where I felt like I can look to the future now.
That's amazing. I'm glad you brought that up too, because we do some future self work in the first 8 weeks when we work together, but it's hard at that point. Mm-hmm. And ironically, while we do some future self work, I also say to women, stay in today. Mm-hmm. Don't think about the future. Don't worry about not drinking on your birthday or Christmas or whatever's coming. Just don't drink for this day. So it's kind of a contradiction there, but it's interesting that just recently you're able to look ahead. And I actually remember that, Susan. I remember asking you, well, now that you're a couple months sober, what are you seeing in the future? And you're like, I don't know.
I struggled, you know. But I did. And again, in my journal, I'm reading through it. You simplified it for me. Don't overthink what the future is. You're not, you know, going to build a company. You know, your future can be, I just want to, like I am right now, just be more present, be sober. And so that helped. It took stress off because it was stressful. I don't know. I'm 6 years old. What future do I have? And I used to think that when I was drinking, oh, screw it. I'm too old now anyway, you know, so I'm just going to drink the rest of my life. So what? And that had to change. And now I feel like I'm reaching out to people where I wasn't before. In my journal, I write, I just trust the universe. It'll supply for me. It'll come to me. But it's like, yes, it will. But if you don't look for and reach out, it's not going to come to you. So I'm at that point now where it's like, you have to get out into the community and sign up for things. And I signed up for a walk tomorrow they have a local community garden. And it's a land trust, and they're taking people on a hike to see the salmon spawning. And I know where they are. We just went and saw them yesterday, but I want to go to meet people who are like my people, you know.
Beautiful.
So,
wow. Right. So hear that, everyone. This is at 1 year that Susan's finally reaching out, getting into the community. Give yourself a break. Give yourself time. Right. Mm-hmm. But compare that to a year ago. And I actually remember that clearly, you saying to me when we first met, well, I'm 66. What have I got to look forward to? I'm like, where would you like to be when you're 67? Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. You clarified it for me. Like, yeah, I didn't see hope or care. And you said, well, are you going to be better at 67, you know, than you are right now if you continue the way you are? And it's like, no, because I was starting to have health issues, you know, high blood pressure. I definitely felt maybe the beginning of some nerve damage, waking up in the middle of the night, sweats, you know.
Yeah.
Just starting to have health issues. And no, if I kept on, is that how I want to go out, I guess?
Yes, exactly. Is that how you want to end your, you know, it's never too late. Never. We have to live the lives we've been given every moment, regardless of our age.
And so, I don't think I believed that, like,
yeah. You know,
and now I do. Like, it is, it's not too late, you know. I am.
Not at all.
Hope, but it does take longer, I think, than experts say, or, you know, for me it did, to actually come into a place. And not to say it's still not a struggle. I still have to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to keep growing. Mm-hmm. Alcohol forces us to grow. Because it's not just about the alcohol, right? And I heard you say that, but now I get to grow and do and explore, as opposed to just sit there not drinking and mad, right? Mad at the world.
Again, just and remind yourself, you're giving yourself a gift.
Yeah. I heard you mention your health has improved in the last year. Mm-hmm. What about relationships with family or children or any other changes that you can celebrate because you're alcohol-free in the last year?
Well, definitely, you know, I think my husband's very happy that I'm not drinking. And, you know, I wouldn't have admitted this before, but honestly, any argument we had, I was intoxicated. So,
wow. Did you say that to him? You said it? Yeah.
You know, it's true. I hated to admit it, but it's true.
So does that mean you're not arguing anymore? There just aren't any? Or does it mean that now you're not to blame?
I think when we have a difference of opinion, it doesn't get heated. And maybe step back, take a deep breath. Maybe I'm the more calm one now.
Yeah. No, I absolutely wouldn't doubt that at all. Right? That's one of the things we learn about that space. Stop, breathe in that space and allow yourself. And, you know, like I said, grandma was right. Just count to 10. It's so simple. Yeah. Why didn't you listen? So your relationship, I'm hearing you're not having scraps like you used to, and your health is better. What about with your children? Anything you can celebrate there?
I think they're proud of me. And I've talked about this before. I have one son in particular. I'm more concerned about his alcohol consumption. And just the other day, he said, I've been going to the gym several days a week, cut back on drinking. I don't know what that means, but I just hope that slowly but surely, because they're young, it's like, God, I wish I did this when I was 40, their age, you know, because then I could see a future, you know, like brighter, a whole new beginning, you know. But I did, he was at our Pray for Snow party last weekend, and honestly, he was not intoxicated. Not that he wasn't drinking, but he definitely wasn't intoxicated, visibly intoxicated. So maybe slowly but surely. Do I expect them to give it up completely? That'd be great, but I don't have expectations for that. I just want them to be healthy and be able to see that there's so much more.
Show it. Leading by example is all we can do, right? Just be an example. And that's beautiful.
Yeah. Life is so much more without the alcohol. You know, you do more. You get more done.
Yeah. It's this weird, it's not only the time that alcohol steals while we're drinking and all that, but then when we're not drinking, we're either thinking about drinking, or we're thinking about what we did when we were drinking, or we're regretting drinking, or we're wondering, are we going to drink? It's just an entire, right? Our entire lives. And to remove that is an unbelievable amount of freedom that's hard to describe. Because I don't think we realize when we're drinking that it's really eating up so much of our psyche, our heart, our everything.
I think that it curbs anxiety or gets rid of anxiety. And I think that they're young professionals and they have stressful jobs and they drink to take the edge off. And it's like, ooh, if you only knew, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I send them podcasts here and there, but I'm not sure they listen.
You know, there's no question alcohol works. We wouldn't drink it otherwise. It calms us down when we're anxious, right? That's why, we, you know, great. But it doesn't work. It backfires. We know that, right?
Yeah.
In the long run, it causes anxiety and depression. Meanwhile, we think it's helping with those two things. And it actually causes it. So,
yeah. Eventually, yes.
So are you having any specific celebration for your 1 year? Or was that at the party already?
No, just with myself, I guess.
With us?
I might book a massage. Take that back. I'm thinking maybe I'll book a massage because I went, had a massage over the summer, and the woman who I go to, I live in a small community, she was about 1 month behind me in sobriety. So, so we talked a lot about that and...
Great. Awesome. You can go check in with her. You're also celebrating with us right here in Snippetland. We're all cheering for you. That's for sure.
And I reached out to you and I just said, I'm still in your world listening.
I'm so grateful that you reached out and to let me know. I always want to hear how women are doing. Mm-hmm. Susan, you spent, I think, your first 3 months with me, maybe 2.5. Mm-hmm. And for anyone out there wondering, you know, can I just get my year? Did that time with me make a significant difference? If so, how? And would you recommend doing that, starting your sobriety that way?
Yes, 100%. I don't think, well, one, it gives you accountability to somebody and other than close family and friends, you know. So that's probably number one. And then the full mind, well, not being alone, knowing you're not alone. There's other people going through the struggle with you. And then the work that you have to do, and you do have to do it, of changing your mindset. And that's everything, to look at this alcohol as a different being than it is. It's not your friend.
I'm so glad that you did it that way, that you started it with me, and honored that you started it with me. But you're absolutely right. The accountability, the support, but the work we do is intentional and very carefully planned. In my world, with women who come into my world. And it is mostly about mindset, right? We change our opinion and our view of the past, the present, the future, our relationships, our health, alcohol, ourselves. And that's a journey. That's a huge, and you did that journey. Mm-hmm. You know, you came in, you stepped up, you did the work. Not perfectly, because nobody's perfect, right? But you kept showing up and you kept trying, and I was so proud of you. And then I felt like I was letting my bird out of the nest, you know, when you finally said, okay, I'm going to go. And here we are a year later. I'm so grateful, Susan, that you reached out to share. Any final words for gals out there in Snippetland wishing they were you today?
That you won't regret it and you will learn to love yourself more. You'll be proud and you'll get stuff done.
Being productive is always nice, but learning to love ourselves, that's the key, the cornerstones. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, alcohol does a whole lot of damage in that area.
And this work to do, you've got to forgive yourself. That's part of what you work on. And forgive others, which isn't easy always too. I'm still working on that one, just from childhood, you know.
Yeah. Forgiveness and self-forgiveness is a journey and it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's not like we just go, okay, all right, oh, I forgive everybody. Well, your heart's not going to follow that. Right? So the process that we go through, and I still too, right? Same here. I still have people from the past. It's touchy, right? When I think of them, I have to be intentional. Oh, wait a minute. Let me breathe and release that. I felt that resentment there for a moment. Let me release. But we're doing it now with this intention and we know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think laying that foundation, I'm so glad that you did for yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm still working. You know, I'm not going to quit.
Keep on growing. Well, you know what they say, we can't stand still. So if we're not growing, we're going backwards and we don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Susan, thank you again for being here again, twice you on the Snippets and for sharing your journey with the gals in Snippetland who need to hear stories like yours. And once again, congratulations on that year, on the work you've done, and thanks for reaching out.
Yeah, Well, thank you for being who you are, and you're really a caring person. I felt it the first time I talked to you. So.
Oh, thanks, Lo. Thank you.
There you have it, gals. A beautiful story from Susan. And Susan, thanks again. And gals, as you listen to Susan's story, if something inside of you stirred, if you said to yourself, it's the end of November, when is my time? Do I want to wait until January? If those types of questions are coming up, if you feel any hint of stirring in your heart, grab onto that and nurture it, because we're never going to get to a point where we're 100%, I'm ready to go. I'm so excited about this journey. It just doesn't work that way. It takes courage to begin and an intention and strength. But that's why we don't do it alone. And if you're ready and you want to start now, today's the day to go to the show notes, tap the link, book a 15-minute call with me, and let's talk about whether or not doing this journey with me is the right path for you. This is a no-pressure conversation where we just explore your options, and it's only for women who are tired of waiting. Thanks for popping in. Be sure to come back next time so I can keep your head on straight. Sending you buckets of love.